The reading today is from Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, we sing those words that we're just aware that there are parts of our lives that we haven't surrendered to you. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to work in our hearts, that you would continue what you're doing in our lives, and we just trust you, Lord, for that next step. Holy Spirit, we pray you would just continue. Continue to stir up in our hearts those things that we need to surrender to you. And show us the way. Because we trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please do sit down. There are some times, I don't know if you find this when you worship, but there are some times that you get to a certain place and you just feel fuzzy. Do you know what I mean? And it's an interesting fuzziness, because that fuzzy feeling is one where you know God's doing something, but you're not quite sure how you're yet to respond or what he's calling you to. And I just feel we're at that place just right now as we worship together. I feel as God was so clearly moving in that worship as we were worshiping together, that God says it's fine to just dwell in that place. Just be open and receptive to what he wants to say. And so I'm going to share what I feel the Lord has placed on my heart this morning, and what I give thanks for and what I pray for is that as I do, that God would take that and plant what he has in his mind for you into your heart. Shall we just pray that together? Lord, we thank you so much for the parable that we heard earlier. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. And we pray that we would hear what you have to say to us this morning. Help us, Lord, to seek out your treasure, your kingdom, and help us to grow in faith with you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I hope the reading that Sheila did isn't too much of a distant memory. Is there anyone that would particularly like me to read it again, or are we okay just to keep going? Yeah? Okay. So, a number of years ago, in fact, it was probably when I was first going out with Cherie, there was a conversation going on with her mum and dad about how Bob had basically sold something that was of quite high value, been given cash by the person that had come to pick, it was probably a bike in Bob's case, up, and he had put the money away somewhere really, really, really safe. Many years later, as they moved to their new home, they still hadn't found the cash that they'd lost. It had been put somewhere so carefully. And so one day, I'm sure someone will take up a floorboard and will be incredibly pleased with their finding, although they probably won't be able to spend it because the face on the notes and everything else would have changed by that point, won't it? But has anyone lost something that they've put somewhere in a really safe place? Yeah? Exactly. At the time you think, I'm never going to forget that. And you've done it many times before, and you think, I'm still never going to forget it, even though I've done it before, I know where this place is. And then you forget it. I certainly do. Hiding valuables was something which the people around when Jesus was telling these parables were used to, because you never knew who was going to come into your village next and just take things away from you. And so this story would have struck a note with them particularly. The person in the first parable had instantly recognized the value of the treasure that they'd found, so much that they were willing to sell all that they had to buy the field. What they stumbled upon was worth far more than the total value of all of their belongings, as well as the field that the treasure was buried in. The treasure was worth everything they had. By contrast, in the second short parable, the merchant knew. He knew the value of what he was looking for. He understood how valuable the pearls were, and so he sold everything to gain his prize. Now, both characters in the stories, whether they stumbled upon the treasure or found it through a careful search, recognized the treasure's value. They were willing to do something drastic to gain their prize. Sell every last thing that they had. Take a look at this clip.
Up today with a really big box. Yeah. And this is only a fraction of what was in that box.
Yeah.
And I said to you, where did you get this from? What did you say?
From the dump.
From the dump. Okay. So what were you doing at the dump?
I worked there. I've worked there for like 15 years. And I get to pull out whatever I like, mostly in antiques.
Got much?
3 sheds full.
So we took out some of the stuff, and you said, I've got this hat, and I've got this and this. What was the story you then told me?
I've got loads of letters, like over 200 letters, with this same load. And it was from a mother to her son. The mother used to work for Winston Churchill. She was a cook, and she used to write to her son every day about the daily goings of Winston Churchill, what he was getting up to, how he was feeling, and just interesting stuff about him.
So we have the famous cigar. Winston was known for those, obviously.
Yeah.
Cigar case, signed photo. And the pièce de résistance, I have to say, Winston's hat. We had a think about this. So I think that your box, remind me where you got it from again?
The dump.
The dump. We think that your box is worth £10,000.
Amazing. Worth £10,000 found on the dump. So the treasure, or the letters that were Churchill's belongings, had been carefully looked after by somebody only to end up on the dump. And while the guy in the excerpt you saw, he didn't pay for things, did he? He didn't sell everything in order to get them. He instantly recognized the value that those things had. They were only letters, a top hat, which may have been something used as a prop at some point, a cigar, possibly something that you would look at as being maybe the most valuable part. But the name Churchill made a massive difference, didn't it? Now, that value wouldn't have been recognized by all people. I'm sure there are lots of people that watch the Antiques Roadshow that probably hadn't even heard about Jesus, especially, they haven't heard about Jesus, hadn't even heard about Churchill. But the thing was, for some people, instantly hearing the name Churchill would have made a massive, massive difference, wouldn't it? The value, their worth, was about more than the money to who they would then belong to, the person that would pay that potential £2,000 in order to get them. After all, someone didn't think that they were worth anything, and that's why they ended up in the dump. Now, of course, Jesus, unlike the monetary value of the treasure that that guy took to the Antiques Roadshow, was talking not about the money, but about the worth of the value of the kingdom. Jesus wasn't talking about the money, he was talking about the worth of the value of kingdom. So what worth did the treasure have? Was it worth giving everything up for? The merchant knew it was, and the man who stumbled upon the treasure had the sense to recognize it being worth giving everything up for too. So I wonder, what do you value most in your life? Perhaps not a car, maybe a car, maybe an antique, maybe family, friendships, relationships, being loved, loving others. When we buy something, we always think about its worth, don't we? Is it worth what we'll pay for it? Is it worth the cost? And if we're unhappy about something and feel like speaking up about it, we always think about, is it worth making ourselves heard over this? Will the sacrifice be worth it? Something of worth must be worthy of the sacrifice. So what do you think is worthy of you spending your life on? Not only any surplus time or money, but absolutely everything. Of course, we know the super holy answer to that is God. God could be the only one that is worthy of us giving everything to. Now, Jesus didn't say that God is like a treasure hidden in a field. He spoke about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And with all that in mind, let's remember that though these men could see their treasure, we can't see God's kingdom in the same way, at least until the time that Jesus comes again. God's kingdom is known only to those who acquire the treasure. Those gaining the treasure are the ones who recognize and hear God's message and respond through discipleship. And when we do that, we begin to see the true value of the treasure that surpasses everything else in life. Yep, you heard that. Everything, absolutely everything else that we could ever know or experience. So, the kingdom treasure hunters are those who seek first the kingdom of God and spend their lives doing so. And it's so exciting when doing that because we see God's kingdom revealing itself in exciting ways. We saw God's kingdom revealing itself last week as people came out, spent their evening, spent their getting wet and the need to dry their clothes and things like that afterwards in order to come and see God's kingdom at work through handing out bags. maybe especially when money is tight, we feel the pangs about generosity, stepping out in faith. But remember, Jesus said to those who were worried about earthly provisions, therefore don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God's kingdom treasure is worth the sacrifice, and the evidence of that, God sees you as being precious. You are that pearl. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. It's through Jesus' life and death and resurrection that we can depend upon him, our Father in heaven, not only for the forever life in the future, but also for a full life in the here and now. As followers of Jesus, we are first and foremost God's kingdom citizens, his children. The evidence that we're kingdom citizens is found in our hearts. And Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Isn't that so true? Where our hearts are. God's just put in my head a picture of the fish tank I have in my house. It's a marine fish tank. And I'm just aware that actually, the cost of heating that water now is getting really high. And obviously, as a responsible person, I will continue to put the heater on so as they get the heat they need. But the thing is that I'm just aware that actually we do invest in those things, don't we? We see where those areas are in our life where we either feel we need to put investment or they tend to draw us more and more, sometimes going beyond what we'd originally thought. So maybe one thing we can do is to reevaluate the importance that we put in different treasures. You see, he was revealing a new treasure to those there with him. He said, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. And like the religious leaders that taught the law and were blind to the teaching that they'd had, those who heard Jesus and his teaching and followed it were to see the kingdom treasure in their lives. God's kingdom treasure isn't only about a hope for a happy ever after, ending when we die, but also about the joy of making the most of our lives right now. When the rich man asked Jesus how he could inherit eternal life, Jesus reminded him of the Ten Commandments. The man said, "Teacher, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have the treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell and he went away, for he had many possessions. It's interesting that quite often we assume that Jesus had 100% success rate with on-the-spot transformation of all those that he met. But this man's story and his inability to do as many miracles in his hometown, Nazareth, reminds us that the hearts that we come before God with are the primary barrier for us receiving God's kingdom treasure in our lives. He said, when you've given those things, then come, follow me. What Jesus recognized was that those things would always be a barrier to those people. Now, looking around, I recognize here loads of people who have been faithfully giving and spending their lives upon God for many years, and that say, here you are, Lord, I trust you in this. The thing is that we also see lots of people that don't know Jesus. We see lots of people for which today we may think, actually, it's a too big an ask to say to somebody about giving everything. You know, the idea of saying you must give everything to Jesus and follow him is something that they will laugh at me about, because it sounds so ridiculous, especially when we're having the sort of financial issues that we are right now in our country and in the wider world. The thing is, and from what we see with Jesus, that actually what we're called to do is to speak the truth. Firstly, for how we live, because we're not going to seem particularly authentic if we tell people go and give everything away or for Jesus. But then, importantly, in sharing that message in gentle ways, because everything to each person will be very different. All we need to do is faithfully share that message and to open it out a little bit in our conversations and allow God by his Spirit to do the transformation, because he will, not us, but also to recognize that there are going to be some times that people say no to that. And there will be people with hardened hearts. And Jesus's then follow me was the challenge to the man. And so we leave it in God's hands. We trust him. See, the rich man had kept all the rules, though he hadn't surrendered his life. It's not really, is it, at the end of the day, about the stuff? Yeah? And I don't know about you, but I recognize that, in fact, the things that I don't surrender, the parts of my life that I at times realize I haven't surrendered, I realize it's more about my heart than about the things. God doesn't need anything you or I own, because at the end of the day, he gave it all to me. And, you know, all I'm invited to do is to lay everything. I say all, it's quite a big thing, isn't it? At least it is to me, I don't know about you. But to lay every part of our lives and ourselves before him. There was a guy called Isaac Watts, who's a congregational minister in the 17th and 18th centuries. And he wrote a really amazing hymn called When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, which is an absolutely beautiful hymn. And when I sing the words to that hymn, I just feel this awareness of God's grace, but I also feel God challenging me about how I will step forwards next in that surrendering to him. And I'm going to read the words, because I think they cut to the heart of the sacrifice that we are called to, as we're called to serve God and place our lives before him. And so I'd like to just encourage you to close your eyes. I'll read the words a few times. The second time, if you want to say the words with me. And then after that, what I'm going to suggest, guys, is that we then sing a couple of songs. And yeah, we'll just see where the Lord leads us. Isaac Watts wrote, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Free to join in with those words with me, if you know them. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.